bunch of our ladies are back there working on the meal. The rest of you guys should have volunteered. Now you got to listen to the sermon. So anyway, glad you're in here. We are going to be in Philippians chapter 4. As you know, it is about that time, Thanksgiving. Now, let me go ahead and say, some of you have already skipped Thanksgiving. I completely understand. You are already on Christmas. I mean, I'll tell you, it's my wife's fault, but we have already skipped Thanksgiving at my house. We have decorated for Christmas. We have everything out except the tree, pretty much. And I mean, it's probably not a movie I should plug here at church, but any of you seen National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation? We are really working on that house. I mean, we are almost there. We lit it up with a million little twinkle lights, and we've got about a dozen, maybe two dozen, no, not quite that many, inflatables in our front yard. We do have the manger scene, so we're not completely leaving Jesus out of the equation here. But anyways, so I understand some of you have moved on to Christmas, but if you will, bear with me. I would like for us to not move on to Christmas until we get done with Thanksgiving as a church. All right, so we today will continue to think about Thanksgiving, continue to think about our need to be thankful and grateful for what the Lord has done. And as a kind of a connection point to that, oftentimes when we have something to genuinely be thankful for, we will rejoice over that thing. Oftentimes, when we have a real reason to be thankful, we have a joyful attitude about it. For example, I mean, how many of you have ever had a little medical scare where, maybe you have a few extra heart palpitations, or maybe you had a little extra pain in your left arm, or maybe you were just weak and you didn't quite know why, or something like that, and you know, any other medical thing you can kind of think of, and you go to the doctor and they tell you it could be A, B, C, and D, and like three of those are life-threatening. One of them, they go, well, you change your diet and you take this little pill and you'll be fine, right? And so they say it could be any of these things, and we're going to run some tests on you, and we'll get back with you. So they run the test on you, and you go home and you sit and you wait. You wait. The doctor was supposed to call today, but he didn't call, so I guess I got to call him tomorrow. You ever had that, right? So you got to call the doctor tomorrow, and then you call, and they go, oh, yeah, we got your test results back. You're fine. You're fine. No big deal. We don't know what it was exactly, but you're fine. You ever had that kind of experience? I know people have had that kind of experience. And when you have that moment, what do? You rejoice because you are thankful that all is well, right? I mean, your body's fine. Your life's okay. Now, sometimes it goes the other way, and you have more worry, and you have anxiety, and you have other things. But that kind of situation happens. I mean, a real minor thing, relatively minor thing compared to all that. At our house a couple of weeks ago, one of our cats, we have two cats. One of them, if you ever come to our house, you'll see one of them. You'll never see the other one. But one of them that you will see, he's real friendly, except when he's not. He's a great cat, except when he bites. A couple of weeks ago, started to wheeze a little bit, kind of hacking a little bit. Gabriel kind of just acting like he couldn't breathe, and he was breathing real heavy, and all kind of stuff was going on. And we're like, uh-oh, we better take him to the vet. So took him to the vet, and Jennifer took him to the vet. That was a mistake. So because she's a little more emotional than I am. Anyway, so took the cat to the vet. Got to the vet. The vet said, something's wrong. No kidding. Something's wrong. So. It could be this, this little condition, and it's life-threatening. There's nothing we can do about it if it's this. Oh, well, thanks. Appreciate that. It could be another thing. That's probably life-threatening, too, and there's nothing we can do about that. Or it could be pneumonia, and if it's pneumonia, well, we still might not be able to do anything about that, but we'll find out. So Jennifer goes home crying, leaves the cat there, says, we're going to run some tests on the cat. Next day, or later on that day, or whenever it was, the vet calls and says, hey, good news, it's not option A or B. It is option C. The cat has pneumonia. So our cat had pneumonia. Anybody ever had a cat with pneumonia? Well, anyway, we had a cat that has pneumonia. And so good news. use, you can treat the cat with antibiotics every day and everything will be fine. So, that's a relatively minor thing. But what do? We have something to be thankful for and we rejoice because our cat does not have a life-threatening illness, right? So, those are minor things. And we as a church, we have something even greater to be thankful for. Something much, much greater than a cat who gets over pneumonia. We have something much, much greater than finding out that our medical worries were not as big of a deal as we thought. We have something much, much bigger than any other problem you can kind of conjure up in your mind and throw before the Lord to be thankful for. We have something much greater, and that is Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. He is the reason we can be thankful during this season. And so we talk about thankfulness, and I kind of combined rejoicing in there with that. And in this passage today, we are going to see that we are to rejoice in the Lord always. We are to rejoice in the Lord always. And so if I say to you, rejoice in the Lord always. Well, I mean, that's an interesting command, Gabriel. It's an interesting statement to just say, yeah, just do that. Just do that. Just do that. But you might ask the question, okay, so how do we do that? How do I rejoice in the Lord always? Well, the beautiful thing is, Paul, who wrote the letter of Philippians, answers that question for us. He provides some ways right here in this passage, a manner in which we are to be rejoicing in the Lord. So let's look, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Let's pray and then we'll move on in that passage. Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that we would rejoice always in him. God, I pray that today would be a day that we rejoice over what you have done for us. Lord, help us to be a rejoicing people who rejoice in gentleness. In other words, trusting in your strength and not our own. Lord, help us to be a gentle people. Help us to be a thankful, thanksgiving people. Lord, help us to replace our worries and our stress and our concerns and replace that with prayer and petitions and thankfulness. And Lord, help us to focus our minds on the things that are excellent and wonderful. If we will focus on the good things in life, we will have many, many reasons to be thankful. And so, Lord, we are grateful for Jesus, and Lord, help us to rejoice in him today. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so again, I said, how are we to rejoice in the Lord always? The first manner in which we are to rejoice in the Lord is in gentleness. You saw there in verse 5, it says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Now, oftentimes, we want to do things in our own strength and our own power. We feel relatively self-sufficient, and we feel like the Lord has given us enough ability to take care of ourselves and to do our own things. And so when a problem arises, we want to solve it, right? And if you've ever been around strong-willed kids, for example, or really any kid at a real young age, they automatically assume, yeah, I can do almost anything, right? I mean, a 2-3-year-old, they're pretty certain they can do almost anything. The problem is they can do very few of the things that they think that they can do. Well, we are not unlike that. We oftentimes think that we are perfectly able to take care of our situations and our scenarios, and we don't need anybody else. We'll use our own strength to take care of our problems. We'll use our own strength to do what we need to do. Well, what Paul says here is, if you're going to rejoice in Christ, you need to rejoice in Christ in gentleness. Let your gentleness, not your strength, your gentleness be evident to all. Why? Because the Lord is near. The Lord is near. Now, I'm about to make a comparison that fails on many, many fronts, okay? It fails on many, many fronts, but bear with me for a minute. Katie, our youngest, she's such a good way for me to use this example, I think. Katie is almost three. She'll be three in 2 weeks. Almost three. All of our kids love me and their mama, but she loves me the most. She does. She loves me the most. And so she always wants to come to daddy with all of her things. She wants daddy to do it, usually. And so if she has something that she can't do on her own, for example, maybe opening a chip bag, that kind of thing, opening a bag of fruit snacks. Have you ever eat fruit snacks? Well, I like fruit snacks, but anyway. Opening a bag of fruit snacks or needing to get to a diaper. She's almost three. Hopefully we'll get past this diaper phase soon. We should own part of a diaper company by now. But anyway, so anytime that she has something that she needs to do that she realizes she is unable to do on her own, you know what she does? She comes near to me for me to take care of it for her. So she needs that chip bag opened. Well, I just pop that thing right open, right? Oh, wow, that's amazing. To a three-year-old, it is kind of amazing, right? Need those fruit snacks open. Pop that fruit snack right open, Gabriel, no problem. Use that strength that she doesn't have. She wants her tricycle out. She wants her bike out, but it's a tricycle. She wants her bike out. And she can't get it because all the other bikes are parked on top of it. Well, so I go and move all the bikes and we pull that dude out. Use that strength that she can't use. She has to be the gentle one and I get to be the strong one. Well, in this case, the Lord is near to his people. And so when we face challenges in life, whether they be physical and kind of temporal and worldly or whether they be eternal, let your gentleness be evident to all because the Lord is near. He's the one with the strength. He's the one with the ability. And so when you have a problem, who are you going to call? You remember Ghostbusters from 20 years ago? No, you don't call Ghostbusters. You call on the Lord, right? Call on the Lord. So how do we rejoice in the Lord? We rejoice by letting him be strong where we are weak. We rejoice in gentleness. Secondly, we rejoice in a manner of thanksgiving. Verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do not be anxious about anything. Now that may be one of those statements, one of the most difficult statements in Scripture possibly for us. Do not be anxious about anything. Man, I bet most of us have had some anxiety about something today. Maybe even during this service. If you haven't been anxious about anything today, you probably were yesterday or at some point this past week, or you will be very soon. He says, do not be anxious about anything. Wow. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So instead of being anxious, let me ask you, how many of you have some type of family or close friend get together this week for Thanksgiving? How many of you? Okay, a lot of you. All right, so Thanksgiving. Now, with Thanksgiving dinner comes what? A lot of food. And with a lot of food comes a lot of, Pam's jumping the gun here. Wasn't even going for sleeping, but yeah. All right, so with a lot of food comes sleeping. But what was I going for? I was going for preparation. Okay? Preparation. Pam wants to sleep. The rest of us got to work, right? I mean, so anyway, so with a lot of, with Thanksgiving coming up, well, there's a lot of preparation that goes into that. Let me tell you, at my house right now, there is a turkey on the shelf in my refrigerator. You have to thaw that thing for like a week before you can cook it. It's just sitting there. Just sitting there waiting, eager to be, what do you do with a turkey? To be baked? Is it baked? Roasted. To be roasted. I don't cook. So anyway, so a lot of preparation goes on. You gotta thaw the turkey. You gotta pour your cranberry sauce out of that can. You gotta cook whatever other side. Dressing? I don't know. What else do you eat with Thanksgiving? Anybody likes ham instead of turkey for Thanksgiving or something? All right, so I see one or two hands over here. Yeah, so, you guys, there's a lot of preparation that goes with that. And I bet, how many of you are hosting Thanksgiving at, like, your home? How many of you? Yeah, I see a few of those. I bet when you do that, you feel a little bit anxious, don't you? A little bit anxious. Why? Oh, because the house has to be clean. Yeah, at our house. Let me let you in on a little secret. All of my wife's family, her family, coming to my house this week. Everything's got to be perfect. Jennifer even has me cleaning carpets this week. It's on the schedule. I've put it off for as long as I could. But anyway, I got to do it this week. So all this anxiety over preparation goes on. And Thanksgiving, the event itself is so minor. We got so many other things that are so much more pressing at times on us. And we feel all this anxiety about home and work and relationships. And we feel anxiety about our health and our families and all those kinds of things. And Paul has the audacity to simply just say, hey, don't be anxious about anything. Instead. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, it's pretty all-encompassing, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So again, what did we say earlier? In your weakness, He is strong, right? In your anxiety, let Him be the one to accomplish whatever needs to be accomplished, and you come to Him in thanksgiving. And listen, verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So we're to rejoice in gentleness, with thanksgiving, trusting that He will give you that peace that you need. And finally, with focus. Verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So, Thanksgiving this week. All right, so we're going to think about a lot of things this week. If you're hosting Thanksgiving, you're going to think about, getting the turkey done, or, having the carpets cleaned, or whatever else you got to do hosting Thanksgiving, right? And then there's a big day on Friday. We give all of our thanks to the Lord on Thursday and our greed to the world on Friday. What happens on Friday? Black Friday. Nobody else seems eager and excited about that. It's a day of happy sales. It's a day of discounts. Anyway, it's a day that a whole bunch of people spend a whole lot of money. Most of them don't have the money to spend, but they spend it anyway. So it's a day that happens. So on Friday, there'll be a whole lot of anxiety on Friday. What's going to happen on Friday? We're all going to go shopping. Maybe you're not, but a whole lot of people are. Some people will sit at home and wisely just click and shop. That's even better. Anyway, so you gotta get in these lines, and you gotta wait at Walmart, and you gotta go down to the mall, or you gotta go wherever it is you're gonna go, and you're gonna do all your shopping, and there's gonna be a whole lot of anxiety over, oh no, did I get Bob that sweater that he didn't want, but I'm gonna get it anyway, or did I, you know, whatever. You gotta get all these Christmas presents, you gotta get all this done, and anxiety begins to well up in us, and when it does, you need to remember that those things aren't all that important. Instead, you should focus on what is true, what is noble, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable. Oftentimes, when we sink down into the depths of despair, whether that be actual depression or just worry and anxiety, it's because we fail to see the goodness of the Lord in our lives and instead focused on our problems to the point that they simply consume us. And what Paul says here is that you can't focus on the problems. You can't focus on whatever is false, whatever is the opposite of these things. No, you must focus on whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. And you know what that is? You know what that excellent, noble, true thing is? Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. And so when you get consumed with all these other things, focus in on Jesus. So how do we rejoice in the Lord always? We rejoice in the Lord always with gentleness, with thanksgiving, and with focus. Focus on what we should be focused on. So today I want to tell you, first off, you can't rejoice in the Lord if your life hasn't been changed by Him. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And so if you have not yet come to the Father in salvation, if you've not yet repented of your sins and trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then today you should do that. You should rejoice in what He will do for you. Secondly, though, if you're already a believer, you should be a person who just continually rejoices over His strength when you are weak. Who continually rejoices in thanksgiving for God answering your prayers and continually rejoicing by focusing on what is good and right and wonderful in your life, and that is Jesus Christ our Savior. And so we should give thanks to Him today and rejoice over that this morning. I'm going to take a moment to pray. If you need to respond this morning, I'll be here at the front. Be happy to talk with you and pray with you. And so if you need to come, you come. But the rest of you, you'll take this time to just simply give thanks to the Lord for what He does every single day in your life. Let's pray. God, we thank You so much for Jesus. We thank You for the opportunity to rejoice in Him. God, bless this day together. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.